Today's topic is we're going to focus on the very first pasuk. We're going to talk about the very first pasuk in Sefer Devarim and what the function of that first pasuk is. So let me get to it right now. So we begin, right? We begin Moshe's last, or one of his last, the end of Moshe's life. And there's a very strange beginning. And the way Sefer Devarim, the way Parshas Devarim begins, it says, Ela hadvarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael be'evar hayarden. Okay, these are the things that Moshe said to all the B'nai Israel on the other side of the Jordan River, Bamidbar in the desert, Barava in the Arava, Molsuf near Suf, Bein Paran uvein Tofel, between Paran and Tofel, V'lavan v'chatzeros v'dizahav, and Lavan, chatzeros and dizahav. Okay. And then it says, Achadas ayom mechorev derech harseir akadosh bareya. It's 11 days from chorev to harseir by Kadesh Barnea. Okay, or sorry, from chorev to Kadesh Barnea if you follow the path of harseir. And then, Vayhi barbaim shana, vayshtei esrei, asar chodesh becha lachodesh divo Moshe al b'nei Yisrael kol asher tziva Hashem asar lehem. On the 40th year, in the first 11th month, which is Adar, on the first of the month, so the first day of Adar, in the 40th year, Moshe told b'nei Yisrael, so this is how many days before Moshe dies?
Zion Adar.
Right, so it's 6 days before Moshe dies. So Moshe is speaking to all B'nai Israel, whatever Hashem commanded him. So we're 6 days before Moshe's death. After he smote Sichon and Og, Be'evar Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, Be'eretz Moab, on the land of Moab, Ho Moshe Esber HaTorah Zos, Lemor. Moshe began to say all this stuff. Now, imagine if we didn't have Pasuk Aleph or Beis. And we start with Pasuk Gimel. And it was in the 40th year, the 11th month, the first of the month, Moshe told B'nai Israel, after he defeated Sichon and Og, where was this? Be'evar Yarden, Be'eretz Moab, Moshe began this conversation. What is this first Pasuk telling us? These are the things that Moshe spoke to all B'nai Israel, the other side of the Jordan, in the desert, in Arava, Mosuf, Paran, Tofa, Lavan, Chir. What's going on over here?
First of all, he spoke to everybody.
He spoke to everyone. Okay. You're right. I guess it would have been, right. I guess you could have accomplished it in Pasuk Hey by saying, Moshe explained the whole Torah, El Kol Yisrael. Okay. Okay. You're right. It does say it to everyone. All these different words, all these different names. So it's a little perplexing why you have all this when, in fact, the simple understanding is how would you what's Pasuk Aleph telling us according to the simple understanding? Anyone? What do you think? The simple understanding. Forget about Drash. The simple reading is Moshe said all these things.
This is what he's going to say.
Oh, you're saying, well, what's he going to say?
No, this is like a preamble to. This is what Hashem said.
But what are these words? Be'evar Yarden, Be'evar Barbara, Mosup, and Parma
Tova. Oh, that stuff.
Yeah, what is this?
The simple is places.
Right. In other words, he said it in all of these places? Are these multiple places? Or is this one place? You understand my question? Okay. As long as you understand. You don't have to know the answer. You just have to know the question. So, The simple understanding, and actually, if we can look here, we're going to do the Rashbam before Rashi. In my source sheet here, I put Rashi first, but we're going to look at the Rashbam first. The Rashbam says very simply, Ela advarim, lefi pshuto, according to the simple understanding, kol nizkarim b'pasuk zeh, mikomoshem. Everything in Pasuk Aleph, they are places, right? And kemo shematzinu regilim sheregilim apsukim say simon besoch simon alma komo she wrote to the farish heichad. That sometimes the psukim provide a sign inside a sign regarding the places that he wants to explain where they are. So, for example, what does it mean a sign inside a sign? In other words, there's a, it's like, for example, we're going to say, where are we now? We are in planet Earth. Okay, well, maybe we'll do planet Earth. We are in North America. Where in North America? United States. Where in United States? New York State. Where in New York State? Oceanside. Where in Oceanside? I'm on Joaquin Avenue. Where in Joaquin Avenue? Oh, I'm in the corner of Joaquin and Park or whatever. So now that's Simon Betel Simon. You start with the broader, and then you go narrow, narrow, narrow. And in fact, the Rashbam points out that we find this in other places as well. By Lech Lecha, it says that Avram pitched his tent, Mikedem LeBeit El, Beit Ahalo. So Avram pitched his tent on the eastern side of Beit El, where? Beit El mi Yam vai Mikedem. So Beit El is on the west, and I is on the east. In Parshas B'Shalach, the Rashbam said, he quotes the Pasuk. He says, V'yashu v'yachnu lifnei Piachiros. It says, when Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, they camped in front of Piachiros, Bein Migdol, Bein Hayam lifnei Baal Tzavon. So again, he's giving a geographical description. And so that's Simon Betoch Simon. So that is, and it gives a bunch of other explanations. And if you just continue down, won't we the rest of this? It says, these are the things that Moshe spoke, Be'er Yarden. So on the other side of the Jordan River, so that's the eastern side. I'm sorry, on the other side. Which other side? Bamidbar. But also, because what do you mean the other side? Is it on the eastern side or the western side? And Ba'oso Eva Yarden, Shilat Sad Midbar. Oh, the side of the Jordan River, which was by the desert. So Yibreso Mem Shana, Shikor Eva Yarden. So, okay, by Eva Yarden, on one side of the Jordan River, they're by the Jordan River. Which side? The Midbar side. That's the eastern side. Barava. Yeah, but Klomar, Be'ez Makoba Midbar. What place in the desert? Oh, the Arvot Moab, the plains of Moab. So then, now he's got to get a little more creative. What's Mol Suf? So he wants to say Yam Suf Matchil Mimizrach Eretz Yisrael. The Yam Suf begins on the eastern part of Eretz Yisrael. Shinema v'shati et kvulcha mi Yam Suf ad Yad Plishtim. Klom Mimizrach v'ad Marav v'hu Yam HaMelach. So he wants to say that the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, is right. That's what's the Red Sea? The Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. So that's by Egypt. But he wants to say that it starts actually Yam HaMelach. Yam HaMelach, and then it goes down south and eventually ends up in Yam Suf. That's what he argues. And he says, Bein Paran and Bein Tofel. So this place where Bnei Yisrael are at are between these two places, like between Beit El and Beit Ai. V'lavan v'chatziros v'zahav. So now the Rashbam is stuck. It's like, I don't know, I've never heard of Lavan, Chatzerot, and Dizahav. I don't know what these, but there must be places. So it's between Beit El and Ai, and I guess around these areas. He says Dizahav, it's like it's a name. So it's not gold, it's a name. Dizahav is like Bat Mizahav. So the Rashbam provides the simplest explanation that the first pasuk is all about what? Location, location, location. Saying this is where Moshe gave his speech 6 days before he died. What's the problem with the Rashbam's explanation? Why does Rashi, for example, reject that? Because as I mentioned to you, like, it's repetitive then. Because in Pasuk Hey, what does it say? Moshe said this, Beva Yarden, Beretz Moav. Like, why are you repeating it? If this is location, so why are we repeating here in Pasuk Hey? Okay? So that's why other Mefarshim don't like to say that. Understand? In other words, a simple reading is that, yeah, this is the location, but then it's location, and then, then it says, in the 40th year, Moshe spoke to Bnei Israel at this time, where? Location, Pasuk Hey. We just already mentioned the location in Pasuk Aleph. Again, so that's why, again, the Pshat might not be that it's location, because it's a difficulty, because it's repeated in Pasuk Hey. And that's why Rashi, I think someone famously said, that Rashi says here, he's hinting, Lefi Shehein Divrei Tochachos. Moshe, the Torah is now hinting that Moshe is about to rebuke them. That in other words, these are the things that Moshe is going to tell the Bnei Yisrael before he dies. Moshe is about to rebuke the Bnei Yisrael. But the Torah is not specifying it. The Torah is only hinting it. So the Torah is listing all the places that Bnei Yisrael made Hashem angry, as it were. Lefichach sasa mesadvarim. Therefore, it's vehiskra mevrem es nekfom shel Yisrael. So on the one hand, Moshe is about to let him have it. On the other hand, because of the kavod of Klal Yisrael, we only hint at it. So now, all of these different things have to be referred to some kind of sin that Bnei Yisrael committed. So Bamidbar. So what's Bamidbar? So Rashi says they angered him Bamidbar. They said Mi ten musein in Bamidbar. But this is in Shmos Tazayin. This is shortly after the splitting of the sea, where they said we should die in the Midbar. Barava, so that's Arvos Moav. That's the sin of Baal Peor. Mol Suf, so that's when they got to the Yam Suf. They said Hamibli Ein Kfar Mitzrayim. Are there no graves in Mitzrayim? Bein Paran Uvein Tofel. So what are these places? So Rav Yochanan, some say to Shimon Bar Yochai, said Chazarno Kol Mikrav Lo Matinu Makom Shishmo Tofel V'Lavan. You look in the Tanakh and you don't find anything, any place where there is a place called Tofel or Lavan. So this can't refer to places. So Rashi says, what does it refer to? Hadvarim shetoflu al haman shu lavan. So rather, they made false claims, taflu, they made false claims about the man, which is white. Right? Because, so the man was white, and they said, v'nafshenu katsa b'lechem ha-klokel. They complained about the man. And what's paran? Paran, we know, that's the meragli. What's chatse wrote? So two possibilities. He's either referring to the machlokes of Korach, or it's referring to what happened to Miriam in Chatzirot, and we didn't learn from them. We didn't learn from her sin. And Dizahav is a hint to the ego, which was made from gold. Again, the Rashi seems to be motivated by the fact that if it's location, it's repeated in Pasuk Hay, and therefore Rashi says it's referring to different rebukes. Now, there are two possibilities here. Rashi says,
"Right, Rabbi, there's a Hasidic shot. Like Dizahav, he's starting to do. He's learning a little bit schus about them. You know, it's not really their fault. He gave him too much gold. You know, it's like he's switching a little bit at the end.
Ah, okay, I hear. Okay,
and then there's a Hasidic shot that all these things. Yeah, they were in Yerida. You're in the Midbar, you gotta think about that, all these things.
Right. Okay, I hear. So, question though is, so according to Rashi, they're listing 11 different places. So, is this the first time Moshe rebuked them? Or did he rebuke them already before, and he's finishing rebuking them now? So, for example, the Malbim says, look at the Malbim here, it says, Divrei Tochos Eila, Diber Moshe Tchila Me'atzmo Mibli Tzivu Hashem. These were rebukes that Moshe began without God commanding him. Shehochicham Amaseim Kepam Apam Bizmanim V'mkomos Shonim. That Moshe had already rebuked them previously on their behavior on different times and different places. V'choshev Yud Aleph Mekomos Shehochicham Sham. And he calculates here 11 places that Moshe rebuked them there. And what are they? Bamidbar, Barava, Mosuf, Bein Paran, Bein Tofel. Meaning Paran was a Midbar Gadol Nimshach Merchak Rav. So it was a big place. Vachar Haya Midbar Sheshmo Tofel. Nimshach Gamke Merchak Rav. So that was also a place. Vochicham, and he rebuked them. Acher Bo Ktsei Midbar Paran. Sheshmechal Tofel. Then they went from Midbar Paran to Tofel, and then Vechino Chicham Shabom Bikse Tofel, but Sad Shenegin Midbar Paran, and Lachadamar Bain Paran and Bain Tofel. I guess then they went to a place that was between Paran and Tofel, and then Makom Shishmo Lavan, there's a place called Lavan, Vachatziros and Chatzirot, Makom Shishmo Dizahav. Okay, so all of these are different places. These are eight different places. And then actually the next pasuk, where he says that Orochicham ba'chadar soyom shemichor vat kadesh barnei gimu pamim. He also rebuked them for regarding the 11 days that would take from Chorev, which is Sinai, until Kadesh Barnea. So he rebuked them three times. So number one is Mechorev, Rotzalomar H. Yatsu Mechorev, when they left Sinai. Number two is Kishahochu Derech Harseir, when they went by Harseir. And then Kishaboat Kadesh Barnea. So Sachako Yudah Makomos. So according to the Malbim, Moshe is repeating. Moshe rebuked them at these different times when they behaved poorly. And now he's reviewing them, these 11 different rebukes. These 11 different times, he was reviewing them and summarizing them now, rebuking them a second time. But that is not Rashi's explanation. Again, we saw the Rashbam, and the Rashbam says that there's no rebuke here. We're simply location. This is exactly where Moshe spoke to them before he died. The Malbim says this refers to Moshe rebuked them now, but he also he's reviewing all the times that he rebuked them, which was 11 times, but he had rebuked them in these times previously. But Rashi says no. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, if you look in first in Pasuk Gimel, and then we'll go back to Dalet, Rashi says, Vayhi barvayim shana bashtei esor chodesh b'echad b'chodesh, Malamech lo hochichan elo samach lemisa. In other words, if you go back to the pasuk here, the way Rashi reads this, he says these are the things that Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael about. Oh, he told them about all the different times that they angered God, right? All these different things. Pasuk Beis, we're not going to learn it, but there's also criticism there as well. And then what's pasuk Gimel saying? That when did there are 11 different times, and there are many different times that Moshe could have rebuked the Bnei Yisrael because they angered God, but when did he rebuke them? Pasuk Gimel, only 6 days before he died, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, only then Dibur Moshe Bnei Yisrael Kechor Asher Tziva Hashem Al Solem. Only then does he rebuke them. Okay, that is Rashi's explanation, and now Rashi is going to try to explain. Well, why is that? Why does Moshe wait to rebuke them to the end of his life? So Rashi gives two different explanations. So Pasuk Dal, we'll first do Dal, then we'll do Gimel. So the first, the Torah tells us, let's go back to actually the Pasuk. Moshe waited until Acharei HaKoso Es Sichon Melech HaAmori Ves O Melech HaBashan. So Moshe waited until after he defeats Sichon and Og. Why do you think he waits till after he defeats Sichon and Og? What? Why does he wait till after he defeats Sichon and Og? Why do you think he's waiting? Because Omer Moshe, Im ani mochicham kom shikon tzu l'ksas ha'aretz. If I rebuke them that they acted poorly and they have to behave well before they enter into Eretz Yisrael, Yom Mal Lazelain, what does this guy have over us? My people, what do you do good to us? He doesn't have the power to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. So Lefichachim Tinachi Hipil Sichon Vog Lifneam Bahorisham Es Artam Vachachokicham. So Moshe waits until, what does he do? He defeats Sichon and Og. At that point, Moshe gained credibility as he defeated the local superpowers. Now he can tell them that their success in Eretz Yisrael is related to their fidelity to God. But if Moshe would have told them before he defeats Sichon and Og that you'll only be able to defeat the enemy in Eretz Yisrael if you observe the word of God, then they're going to say, yeah, right. Who says? You observe the word of God, you spoke to God, and you deliver the word of God, and you didn't even make it. You couldn't defeat any armies. So Moshe waits until after he defeats Sichon and Og, then he gains credibility, and now he can hopefully be more effective in giving them Musar. That's one explanation. And the second, which is Pasuk Gimel, which is Vahi Barim Shana Bashtei Asor B'Chodesh B'Echad L'Chodesh. He waits until the 40th year, the 11th month, on the first of the month. Malamish Lo Chichon El Samach L'Misa. So he waited not only until he defeats Sichron and Og, but he waits until he's about to die. Mi lamad, so who did he learn this from? Mi Yaakov. Right? Yaakov did not only rebuke his kids close to death. Right? So Omar, Yaakov said, Reuven b'ni, Reuven my son, ani omer lecha b'nei ma lo hochachticha kol shem alado. Why didn't I rebuke you all these years? Because what would happen if I rebuke you? You're going to say, who needs this? And you're going to go off to Esav. You're going to go off to Derech. And the Rashi points out, there are four reasons why you should only rebuke someone close to his death. So he gives four different reasons. And he says other people did this too. Yeshua did this. Shmuel, David, when he rebuked his son Shlomo, gave him advice. So the Sifrei, so Rashi says the Sifrei. So let's read the Sifrei. Why does the Chazal say better to rebuke someone only close to your death? So number one is Kadesh Shelo Yehei Mochicho V'Chozer U'Mochicho. So the first reason is if you constantly have to rebuke someone again and again, then what might happen? The person will get turned off. They'll get turned off. You keep on rebuking someone, then the person will get turned off, and they're going to leave. They're going to go to Esav. They're going to go off to Derech. So just wait to the very end. And then the second is v'shelo yehei chaver ro'eu mispayish menu. If you rebuke your friend, and every time you see your friend, he's going to be embarrassed from you. So wait till you're on your deathbed, so then he won't see you that much anymore. The third is the v'shelo yehei. I'm sorry. V'chein sheyifreshu menu b'shalom shatocha mevi l'day shalom. Is that the listener won't hold a grudge against the one who rebuked him, so he's going to leave in peace. Usually, if I rebuke someone, the person's annoyed at me. Who are you to tell me what to do? But if they know I'm about to, God forbid, that someone's about to die, they'll be okay. I'm not gonna, I'll accept your rebuke. And I skipped one. I skipped one. The third one is v'shelo yehei b'libo alav. So the first is that's so he won't have a grudge against him. And the fourth is they'll leave each other in peace. And he gives a whole bunch of examples. So again, it's more effective if someone's on their deathbed. So then they can be more effective in rebuking another person. So that's
isn't the purpose of rebuke really to so that the person learns from his mistakes and he's able to do tshuva. But if you wait until the end, he never gets to
great
the
point.
Opportunity to do tshuva.
Yeah, great point. The pasuk says exactly what you're saying, Dave. The pasuk says in Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim, I'm going to ask this question. That was my next question. You're my plant of the audience, Dave. So in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, L'sisa tzachicha b'vecha, don't hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochicha samisecha, you should rebuke your friend. L'sisa lavchet. And the Gemara Bava Metzia I brought here, it's also Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara Bava Metzia daf lamin alef lamin alef says, Amalei Yehu mirabban l'rava, ve'ema hocheach chadazim, not tochicha trezim, ne? Maybe ochech tochech means just rebuke twice. I'm like ochech. I feel a mea pamim mashma. No, you even rebuke 100 times. What's tochiach? Ainly ala rab l'talmid, talmid rab minayin. How you know the student should even rebuke the rabbi? Ochech tochech. You keep on rebuking someone. So why is Yaakov? Why is Avram? Why does Moshe wait? You should rebuke someone. So the Maharal addresses this question, and the Maharal says the following: Shelo yiyah mochicho chozer mochiach. I understand. What are we saying? You shouldn't constantly rebuke someone. You shouldn't rebuke someone sins, because then you'll be constantly rebuking him. I understand. So because you'll be constantly rebuking him, who mitzvah say? There's a mitzvah that you should rebuke someone. So V'yei Shlomar says the Maral, so someone to say, when you see that someone's about to sin, so then you should rebuke them. ומוכיח עושו שלא יבוא עוד לידי עבירה, אין טוב שיוכיח וכל זה מוכיח שאז לא יקפד, לא יקפי בתוכך. But if someone committed a sin in the past, a long time in the past, and you rebuke him so that he won't sin again, so that's not so good to constantly rebuke him because maybe he's not going to care about your tochacha. The Maharal makes an interesting distinction. He basically says that you should rebuke someone if someone's about to sin. I might even argue if the person sinned and you know for sure they're going to sin again. But the classic rebuke is to prevent someone from sinning, like it seems when it's almost immediate. So, however,
it doesn't fit though, because right. Yaakov gave Reuven, you know, that happened a long time ago.
What do you mean?
When he before he passed away, so whatever happened.
No, that's the whole point. No, that's his whole point. In other words, there he's saying that if someone, I would say like this. If you know that the person's about to sin, you're pretty confident the person's about to sin, then you have to rebuke someone. If someone committed a sin, and so now it's become part of their personality, okay, but they're not necessarily going to sin right away, again, with that sin, so then you really have to take consideration, is your tocha going to be effective or not? And then what he's saying is, wait until a more opportune time when you think it will be more effective. That's what Yaakov did, and that's what Moshe did. Okay? At least according to Rashi. In other words, I guess Moshe didn't feel that after they committed some of these sins, that they were necessarily going to commit that sin right away again. So, however, if you reflect upon all the mistakes that someone else made and say, you know what, remember this, don't do it again, so then it's more effective when you're about to die. So it's not don't rebuke at all, but someone committed a sin, so that and no one held them accountable, so they think it's not so bad, not a big deal. So you should confront the person, but you have to be careful because you have to make sure that your rebuke won't just further turn them away. Again, if you know they're mamish about to sin, so you have to take more of a risk to prevent the sin. But if you don't really know that they're about to sin, but they have this negative character trait or this negative behavior, the negative, feeling about something. So then timing is more critical. Then you have to wait. And I think the message here is that we have an obligation to try to stop someone from sinning before he sins. But after he sins, and it's not for sure he's going to sin again. Obviously, it's a judgment call. These things are hard to know. But after he sins, we must even more consider the possibility of alienating the person if we do rebuke him. In which case, it might be worth waiting until an appropriate time later on, like what Moshe did in this week's Parsha. See, sometimes, when you rebuke someone, so that could cause, build a separation, cause a divide between you and the other person. And sometimes, maintaining a relationship is more important than rebuking someone. And obviously, the rebuke must be predicated on love, and not disgust. In other words, the fact that Moshe, he waited till the very end, so he continues with the relationship with them, and only at the end of his day, he's not saying, oh, you're disgusting, I don't want to be part of you, I'm not like you, but Moshe waits until the end of his life, and they're willing to listen to him, and he's built a long relationship with them. So then, when the tochacha is built on love, so then, that's the appropriate way to go about it. It's tocha is very tricky. We have to be sensitive, but I think the number one point here is should always be motivated on love and care and concern. Generally speaking, if we're going to give tochacha to someone because we're disgusted by their behavior and we don't like them because of this, generally speaking, it's probably not going to be effective. If you really feel you love the person, you care about the person, care about the person's well-being, And you're doing it not because you're disgusted by that person, but you want to really, really help the person. Not like, oh, he's a nebuch, he's a bad person, it's embarrassing to me how you're behaving. But if you really want to help the person, that's the way to give tochacha. And that's Moshe, that's reflected in Moshe waiting until his deathbed. He didn't simply rebuke them without concerning himself with the effect that that's going to have. That's a very tochacha is important, and if they're about to sin, so we have to try to prevent sinning. But afterwards, then we have to care a lot about the relationship.
Rabbi, this is the second rebuke. The first one that Moshe did was at the time that.